Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The American Bar Association has proposed a model rule that would govern the ethics codes of all the lawyers. This has to be adopted by the individual states, but it is a scary proposition because it is really a speech code for lawyers. I think it clearly violates the right to freedom of speech. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of barbwire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Matt, just recently, the American Bar Association met for its annual meeting, and the ABA has model rules of professional conduct, and they govern all the different kinds of ethical requirements that lawyers are supposed to abide by. Now, these are not mandatory or binding on any individual because they're model rules, but each state then has to adopt its own rules of ethics or professional conduct. And oftentimes they look to the ABA model rules, and sometimes they adopt them in total. Sometimes they adopt part of it and they modify it for their own particular state. Well, if they adopt this particular new model code, it, I think, is a serious restriction on the freedom of speech.
Well, sure it is. It's the same kind of speech code that the courts have repeatedly struck down on college campuses. And of course, the goal here, once again, is to silence any dissent relative to the whole issue of homosexual activism, so-called gay rights. The whole purpose here is to threaten into silence attorneys, practicing licensed attorneys, who happen to embrace the millennia-old biblical sexual ethics. So it says here, it's very, very clear, these are sweeping rules that would not just silence in the practice of law any kind of speech we're talking about here, but it would apply to quote bar association business or social activities in connection with the practice of law. And it prohibits so-called, and listen to how vaguely they define all these terms so that they can make it fit in pretty much anything anyone says. The rules prohibit harmful verbal or physical conduct that manifests bias or prejudice toward others, defines harassment as derogatory or demeaning verbal or physical conduct. Well, what does any of that mean?
Yeah, let's dig a little deeper here. So what are they saying, that an attorney who might be a homosexual cannot discriminate against another or a client, or what exactly is their reasoning here?
Well, they say that as the rule was being discussed, that it does not apply to what they call quote unquote legitimate advice or advocacy. So, you know, the question about this is, and Eugene Volokh, a UCLA law professor, is very critical of this particular ABA rule that has just been adopted, and many others are very critical of it as well. And the broad nature of this, it's harmful verbal conduct that could be derogatory or demeaning. And it can apply in businesses, so it can apply in your place of employment, or social activities in connection with the practice of law. Now, what is that? That could be a continuing legal education seminar you're going to. What if you're on the panel and you're discussing, for example, the LGBT issues, same-sex marriage? Say, for example, you're discussing same-sex marriage, or you're discussing the bathroom bills, for example, the debate over what's going on in North Carolina and some of these other states. Would that particular discussion of one or more of the panel members be considered derogatory, harmful, abusive conduct? Because it certainly would be part of a connection with the practice of law if you're part of a continuing legal education event that's put on by your state bar or some other organization.
I mean, could you even get to the extent where you can't even say he and she anymore? I mean, is that going to limit that too?
If you're in, let's say, you know, I'm a licensed attorney, Matt, you're a licensed attorney. Let's say that I'm speaking at an event, Christian Legal Society or somewhere that offers continuing legal education credits. And we're talking about First Amendment constitutional issues, and we're we're taking the Christian stance that that opposes counterfeit same-sex marriage. Well, they'd probably revoke my law license, disbar me for saying counterfeit marriage.
That's nuts.
But what if you just get up and you read from Romans 1, and what if you just speak the truism that homosexual behavior is listed among those sins that if someone engages in that behavior, as the Apostle Paul says, he will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, is that derogatory? Is that demeaning verbal or physical conduct? Well, they could say it's derogatory, that it's demeaning, but it happens to be what Scripture teaches.
You know, according to the New York Times article, they said that this rule came about in order to address things such as in the courtroom, women being called honey or darling. And I've not ever actually seen that happen in a courtroom, and I've been practicing for 29 years. I'm sure that it does. I'm not discounting that maybe a judge or some other opposing counsel might say that. I'm not saying that they're saying it in a derogatory manner. The context obviously matters. But if that's the case, if that's what you're trying to get at, then there's a whole different way to get at it. Because you can say that if you're in a courtroom, obviously you don't want to belittle the client or your opposing counsel or the judge. That's a whole different matter. Rather than outside of that courtroom, where you're in the office or you're in a bar association meeting or you're at a social activity in connection with the practice of law. What is a social activity in connection with the practice of law? It doesn't mean that it has to be a continuing legal education program. It could be, Matt, that you're bringing lawyers together for some kind of social event. And in that social event, somebody makes a statement. Somebody even, as you mentioned, reads from the book of Romans. And then someone then files a complaint against you. Well, that is, I think, the problem with this. And I think this is going to raise serious First Amendment challenges if at any time a state adopts these rules and then applies this rule against an individual in those kinds of contexts. I think it raises a serious First Amendment challenge.
Well, you know it will, and that's the goal here. And the radical homosexual activist community, groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center that already abuse the process to try to go after people, take their license, get judges like Justice Roy Moore removed from the bench, things like that, they will absolutely file complaints because the process is the penalty. And this sets it up to where people are then put on the defense. Have to defend themselves for just speaking biblical truth. You know, David French, an attorney, longtime practicing, a trial attorney, First Amendment attorney, wrote a great article in National Review, and he asked this question. He says, if my state board of professional responsibility adopts these new rules, then I'm clearly in trouble. Just in the past year, I've engaged in the following kinds of speech that many people, including my fellow lawyers, find biased or derogatory. He says, I've argued that men cannot become women. Many women claim I'm biased against the, many would claim that I'm biased against the transgendered and engaged in derogatory speech every time I scorn the notion of a woman with a male sex organ, and I'm paraphrasing what he wrote here, or the idea of a pregnant man. So the point being that this is an attempt, clearly an attempt, to silence all dissent against the radical LGBT, and that includes the transgender, men in miniskirts, agenda.
Yeah, you know, this particular situation is clearly, I think, a collision with the First Amendment. There is no harassment exception to the First Amendment. You know, there are certain things that people say, and they shouldn't say them, but that should not be a cause for some kind of punishment like this in terms of an ethical code violation. You know, there may be some states that will adopt this lock, stock, and barrel because that's their ideology. They might want to rush to adopt these things. I know there's going to be a lot of states that will not adopt those laws, those particular ethical codes, because they know better. They have more common sense than the ABA did in passing this particular speech restriction. And in any case, whenever something like this is adopted and it is applied against, say, a dinner conversation that someone has in the evening while they're at a bar function with the local or the state bar or even the ABA, and it gets applied to them, I think that clearly will raise a significant constitutional challenge because this will be something that is applied to that attorney by virtue of the authority of the state, and the First Amendment's going to apply. So I encourage, this is This is disappointing that a legal organization has become co-opted by the PC leftist agenda, and they want to regulate your speech. Of all organizations on the planet, a legal organization like the American Bar Association should be respectful of your constitutional, your fundamental liberties, and that includes preeminently the right to freedom of speech and freedom of association. For more information regarding your constitutional rights to religious freedom, the sanctity of human life, and the family, join Liberty Council by going to our website at lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. Become an active partner of Liberty Council and make a difference in your community and across the nation.